Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 6 of season 2. I am Brian Cohen, as always, here with my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are we doing today?
I'm doing all right, Brian. Thanks for bearing with me on our schedule change here. Sorry about that, everyone.
Yeah, no, hope people didn't wake up this morning, but like, oh my god, where's the podcast? Yeah, actually, yesterday morning, and be like, where's the podcast? I don't know, I'm freaking out. But
I'm sure Rob's email was flooded with emails. His inbox was flooded with emails. Yeah. Where is this podcast?
I can only imagine. People live and die for this. They need this on their Wednesday morning, and we're giving it to them on a Thursday morning. I don't know what they're going to do.
Sorry about that. Yeah. My fault. I was traveling.
It's okay. We were allowed to have lives outside of this every once in a while. So it seems that these people are really clueless about this game, right?
Yes.
But you know,
simple answer, yes.
But you know what's not clueless? The Rob is a podcast app. It came out last week. Rob launched it, and it's just the perfect way to track all the Rob as a podcast in one central location. Doesn't that seem great?
I normally would make fun of this, but I actually think the app is really great, so I'm going to allow that shameless plug to happen.
You know, it has everything from Rob's coverage of Survivor and Big Brother. It has post-show recaps with, like, The Walking Dead. And it has our home, reality TV wrap-ups, which is perfect. So you can check it all out. Rob has a podcast app, robhaswebsite.com/app. Do it yourself, and I think you'll find it to be a bundles of entertainment.
I don't have anything cute to say. I'm just genuinely, I enjoy the app.
I don't think that was that cute. But we'll go with it. So leading from that, we gotta argue the one.
I don't know if I have less to say about, like, less cute things to say about the app or this episode. I'm literally scratching my head right now. I wish this was like a video feed. My hand just naturally went to scratch my head when talking about this episode.
I think that's what everyone on the show is doing too, because this is just a colossal, just horribleness of trying to figure out this show. Like, they're like, at first, the first time they did it, it's like, oh, you know, it's pretty good. They're actually going to gain a lot from this. But now it's almost like, I think maybe the last time they do this, they're going to be still getting no matches. They're going to go through every possible combination of getting no matches.
Well, let's jump from the end back to the beginning, because let's try to make some sense of this. First of all, like, even what's confusing me is it starts with the, like, last week on the episode. Mm. Do you remember Jenny saying, if we end up in the honeymoon suite, we're going to have a blast to Layton? Was that on the last week's episode?
Yeah, that was on. Hold on, it's snuck in there. I think that was when Jenny was, like, hiding in the corner behind, like, jackets waiting to pop out and scare her.
Okay, like, maybe I didn't see last week's episode. Did a podcast on it. Maybe I didn't see it. Okay.
That'd be really impressive if you did, like, a whole hour podcast and didn't even watch the episode.
Somehow I missed that, I guess. But, yeah. All right. So then we move to Jess, who's, like, freaking out that Nate picked her, which I thought was hilarious because I think we talked about the possibility that we think they could be a match.
Right. I'm also just kind of freaked out the fact that Nate is all of a sudden looking like a normal person. I can't handle that. I want him to go back to, like, being the blabbering mess he was, like, a few weeks ago. That was more fun.
I think since I cut him out of my Twitter feed, like, I've had some space from him, and now I can appreciate the seconds that he has on air now on my TV screen.
It's like he was benched, and it was like a wake-up call. I was like, oh, wow, Allie didn't follow me. I got to get my act back together. Let's go.
I mean, yeah, if this show were live, definitely. No, I needed a cleanse. So now he's not bothering me as much. I guess you're right. Comparatively, if Nate's looking sane, if Nate and Anthony are looking sane, I think we even said that last week, we've got problems.
Yeah. Anthony should not be, like, the clearest thinker of this group, but I think so far he might be.
Question. So we see in the beginning Garland speaking up. Like, thank you, Garland.
He's on the show.
So he thinks that Alex and Jess are a match, and he thinks that Layton...
He knows they're a match. That's, like, the key word that Garland says. He knows everything. He knows they're a match.
You're right. I'm sorry. So Alex and Jess are for sure a match. For sure.
For sure.
And he knows that Layton and Jenny are a match, and now we also know that Layton and Jenny are not a match, so good on Garland. But what do you think about Alex and Jess as that prediction?
Well, weren't they matched up tonight? Or in that episode?
Oh, were they?
Weren't they the last pick? I think Jess was
the
last pick.
I'm sorry, I'm the worst. Yeah, just picked Alex.
So prediction.
Okay, you're right.
They are not a match.
Prediction. Okay, good. Because you know what? I wanted to say that there's more of a chance of Alex the girl and just being a match, but I didn't want to like make any rash claims and be wrong. So not. I was overthinking that and not realizing that they're already not a match. So good job, me. Sorry, everyone. I was traveling.
We'll blame it on the airplane.
Yeah. Okay. And then Jess gets like an amazing line and says that Jenny doesn't know who she really is, which like harsh words considering that Jess is the person who said like, this is what I always do. I sleep with people too soon. I don't want to do that anymore. And then does it right away. But mm-hmm. Jenny doesn't know who she really is. Okay.
The whole, I mean, we'll obviously get into it. The whole Jenny Jess thing is just a cavalcade of just like back and forthness of a, just everyone like contradicting each other. All a lot of hypocrisy tonight. That's it's my favorite kind of reality TV drama.
Well, I'm just sorry. I'm like going through like a lightning round of everything that happened before, like in the 2 minutes we got
catching up on two episodes.
No, but like this was also weird. It's like we got like 2 minutes of show, then the challenge like seemed to start right away. But Brianna, then I feel like with all this craziness with Jess and Jenny and Layton and all that jazz. Brianna like losing the love of her life to the honeymoon suite blah, blah, is like really getting underplayed, and we just see like Brianna having like a quiet cry to herself, and nobody's like nobody cares.
And no, you know, when Christina came back, when Brandon like they found out they weren't a match, everyone was huddled down like crying. Oh, poor Christina. Brianna like on like the roof like crying by herself with like the very sad music. I don't they really like played into it like the middle of like a romantic comedy, like right when the guy leaves and then like all trying the girls trying to pick up the pieces. It was like really sad music.
I know, I felt sad because I was like, why is she completely alone? There are 10 other girls. There was an extra girl there to try to comfort her, and nobody's caring.
And from what we'll see, it seems like you can't do anything in this house without being alone. So I don't know how she even found the place to be alone.
Just her quiet cry. Keep it moving.
Maybe have the quiet room, the crying room. Like the boom boom boom, the crying room.
Maybe it doubles. Like during the daytime, everyone cries, and at night, everyone booms.
Yeah, you cry for what you did in the room earlier.
Oh,
I got jokes. Can't lie.
All right, so
So they jump to the challenge in like the first 2 minutes, which is basically means that the rest of the episode was going to be chaos, which it was. It's kind of like when Survivor has like the immunity challenge, like really early on in an episode, and you know the rest of it's going to be crazy. So I was actually happy to see that because. Get rid of the post challenge stuff is usually the post competition stuff is usually the better half of the episode anyway.
No, I agree. And this with the girls' family members being there, like led to extra stuff afterwards that the challenge normally doesn't have. But one quick thing before you jump into the challenge, the name of the challenge, the long arm of your in-laws, is that the worst name in even MTV history?
Like, is that supposed to be a pun? Because if it is, I don't really get it.
I think it's an expression that's been twisted, but it's just not, it's not cute. It's not short. It's not clever. It's just, I mean, like, again, maybe Ryan really is writing the names of these challenges on the spot.
I guess so. I mean, if so, then maybe they like, or they hire like the lower of the interns to write this one. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's literally, I think it's like the long arm. I'm Googling it. The long arm of the law, the long arm of your in-law, like, I just think that they Googled like law pun, in-law pun, and just came up with like their third hit, maybe.
was that actually the third hit on Google?
No, I Googled long arm of your in-law, but I'm just thinking, I'm backtracking, I'm going backwards. Okay, their in-laws are maybe here. Anyway, I think it was stupid, terrible names. Just call it game number 6. Like that's better than the long arm of your in-laws.
But I was also very upset that he called them family members and didn't just go straight from Survivor and call them loved ones. That's what they are. They're loved ones. This was the loved one episode. And he didn't call them that. It was very disappointing.
I have to give my obligatory complaint that, of course, it's the girls' family members and they get to watch. Oh my God, so nice, Ryan, that they get to watch on a screen. So they are semi-involved.
I think the first time you brought this up was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I think since then, the girls haven't participated in the challenge.
And we got some comments about like, oh, actually, it's not that different than last season. It's not even necessarily about the number of challenges that are technically paired or technically for girls or technically for guys. The overall feeling has been the guys compete every time. Even when it was a pair, the guys did the tongue thing. Like, even when it was a girls' challenge, it was about the guys. Like, it just, the vibe is that it's all about the guys competing and the girls are somehow involved, sort of, or they're watching on the screen. But no, I even tweeted about it. I think Jasmine tweeted, like, I was waiting for that. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's just me, but I feel like it's totally, totally imbalanced and getting annoying.
I don't know if I would have noticed it if it's just like when you first brought it up, it was like my How I Met Your Mother, like she chews loudly moment where it's now it's all I think about.
The glass shattered.
The glass shattered in my mind, thinking, wow, they really, it's always the guys, it's always the guys, and now it just continues. Maybe next week's they'll, like, I think the girls have picked a person to go with them on a date once in 6 episodes, which seems kind of low.
Can I just point out that when I cleared my throat, Brian couldn't recover, and when Brian did it, I recovered. So I'm just saying, there it is on the recording. Okay.
You're obviously better than me, but I don't think I would have speeded that.
No. Okay. What maybe bothered me more than the girls not participating in the challenge is Nathan constantly is the person who's like overcompensating, or he's like saying these, making these claims because he thinks it's what normal people do. So, like, example, how many people have you had sex with? Too many to count. Real answer, 3. Like, this guy, he's like, I don't meet the parents until like 2-3 months in. Like, Nathan, no one introduces you to their parents. Like, you don't make it that far. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like he just makes these, like, crazy, like, these statements that just aren't true. I can see in his eyes he's just, like, saying what he thinks the normal reaction should be.
I guess you're not going to be following Nate.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, didn't that feel
a lot of what he says is, like, thinking, oh, this is what, like, the cool guy would say. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so, okay, so we have various family members. It's mom, stepdads, dads, and grandmas. Grandma.
Of course Allie's grandma would come. It's so perfect. It's so perfect.
But, so they have to match the girl with who they think the family member is. And there's, like, some racial issues happening. And, like, some people were tweeting that things were given away. But I guess Brandon didn't get that. Yeah, so one question we got and that I was thinking about is from Andrew Kirk on Facebook, wrote to us, did you guys like the parents of the girls being in the house more or less than the guys' exes last season?
I think I like the parents more because they know more about, like, the people themselves, not, like, just an ex where it's, I mean, who knows even, like, how much they were together. You don't really know, like, the extent of the relationship. But for a parent, like, they're going to give, like, a true assessment of their kids, so I would probably just rather the parent.
I couldn't disagree more. Perfect. Loved the, like, I still remember two moments that happened with exes last season where, like, Dylan's ex-girlfriend was like, I'm still in love with him, I tested him and broke up with him, and I'm, like, biggest mistake, and I want him back. And Dylan was like, and then I think it was Dre's ex who was like, he's still mine, she was, like, very adamant in front of everyone that, like, they were still together or whatever. I just think that it causes more drama to have the exes. I think the contestants, for the most part, the cast will, like, maybe put on the show more in front of the parents as opposed to, like, having real beef. Like, is Anthony being himself in front of Jenny's mom for Jenny's mom to approve of? No.
I agree with you that it creates drama, but I think this created more drama because of what Leighton did of trying to, like, butter up and, like, act cool in front of the parents, and instead he put his foot in the mouth and said that, like, he's the best, Anthony's the worst, and that almost created World War III in the house, which is what the exes did.
I was thinking more about, like, normal people, what a normal person would do in front of
some parents. We're not watching normal people. You have to remember that.
I like the drama caused by ex more than I like drama with parents. But my takeaway from the parents is that they get it. The parents, I wish that, like, the parents stayed for the rest of the season, and then maybe they'd have a chance of getting the matches.
It almost makes you think, is if they did this show with, like, people, like, 35 or above, they would probably figure it out in, like, 2 weeks. So, like, you really need to have, like, the 21, 22-year-olds who are, like, being naive and stupid and just go based on their first instinct and refuse to change your mind no matter what to, like, create this type of stuff.
No, I definitely agree with you there.
In terms of the questions what were, like, some of the bigger takeaways that you took from them?
Well, I love how when John says that he's a lawyer, like, everyone loses it. Like, everyone's like, oh my God. But one thing that I was, like, shocked that people were shocked about is that they ask the three most important things in his life, and he's like family, happiness, and he can't think of the third. And then they ask if he's here for the money or for love, and he says that he's here for the money. Mm-hmm. Why is everyone surprised? 10 out of 10 people, or 20 out of 20 people got money last year. 2 out of 20 people got love.
And it, all right, here's my question. Like, I understand what it would look like if someone's here for love. Like, you find someone's not a match, and you stay with them because you care about them and you want to do that. What does it look like if you're here for money? I still can't figure out what that, like, means to the game.
I don't know that, like, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it changes your strategy, because ultimately, like, the idea is that if you find love, you will also get money.
Right.
But the way it works out in reality is, if you find love, it most likely won't be with your perfect match, and then you'll have to choose to pursue money instead of love. But overall, like, you can still fall in love with someone else, find your match, and let the house work. I just think the mentality of it is like, what did you come here for? Did you come here to leave in a relationship, or did you come here to leave with $50,000? Is it $50,000 a plus, or is it the reason that you came here? And if anyone really says that it's just a plus, they're all lying.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, because I know for the first season, they didn't even think they were going to be getting money. So I guess for them, they were all truly there for love. But I guess for the second season, knowing that $50,000 was up for grabs, I guess it sways them. But like,
do you really think that, though? Because, like, I mean, people on reality shows all the time get stipends for being out there that you don't know about, that aren't a part of the prize money. I know I'm thinking more established shows, obviously. Mm-hmm. But do you really think that they came for 2 months, or for the summer, whatever they committed to, not, and thought that they weren't going to get any money?
I mean, when you go, like, on a show like The Bachelor, like, how much do those people get for being on the show? They can't get much, right?
We'll have to consult Amy and Haley.
I don't know. I can't imagine the contestants getting that much, even the people who make it to the end. So my guess is they thought they were just going on a show like that. Like, maybe they'll get, like, a few thousand to cover, like, expenses or whatever. But I just think the extra $50,000, or what they keep calling a million, just annoys me whenever they call it a million, right? It's not, but I just think that was just like a cool thing. And but I think for the first season, I don't think any of them thought about hoping to get money. Maybe they're hoping to parlay this to eventually do something else to get money, but I don't think in the moment they were thinking they were gonna get money.
Yeah, I was gonna say, at the very least, they all know they're gonna be on TV.
Yeah.
And I think that trumps the real thought that you'd come away with the love of your life from this, but who knows?
Okay.
So what were your takeaways from this?
Do you think all the parents thought of the questions themselves, or do you think they were handpicked by producers to, like, try to, like, stir up stuff? That was probably my biggest takeaway.
Interesting. I'm sure they had questions written for them that, like, spur, or they had, like, a think tank prior to get people's juices flowing. But I think certain parents or loved ones, if you give them, like, 2 or 3 things that are permission to get crazy, that they'll just start rapid fire.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the answers, I didn't really take that much out of. I mean, basically every answer is something that we pretty much already knew. And I don't think we really learned anything about any of them, right?
No, I just thought it was interesting. Was it Jess's loved one who asked Layton if he's ever used the Boom Boom Room?
Yeah. And I think Brandon was also asked that. I don't think Christina's dad or Christina's stepdad asked him that, though. But yeah, I think Jess's mom asked him that. Yeah.
There was one thing with Anthony this episode, I don't know how you're feeling about him, but I have mixed feelings, because, like, I still have the feelings I had towards him where I really don't like him. And he's saying, like, oh, I want to change my ways. I want to find a girl to change my ways. And then to the camera, he's saying, these are moms I'd like to get to know. Like, he's still doing his, like, cheesy grin and his big eyes, and he's sweet talking the moms. And then he's talking about wanting to boom boom them on the side. But, I mean, he shows other sides of him later. But, like, that just, like, made me feel really disgusting.
Yeah, I think he is like that prototypical player that wants to find someone to settle down, but I don't think he wants to find that someone now. And I think that's like the biggest thing. Like, he's like 21, 22 years old, right?
Yeah.
So I think he wants that eventually, but I don't think he wants that for like 5 to 10 years. And he just is having that in his mind to say, but it's not what he truly means, but he can just use that to quote his words, swoop in on Jenny.
Yeah, no, that's actually really fair. All right, that should shed some light. Anything else before we move on to the winners?
I don't think so. I did enjoy Garland saying he wanted to invest in a bar or club. I did enjoy that. That's going to go swimmingly.
Good luck to him. Yeah. Yeah, so we have John Wins, who picks Jasmine, which was, they were matched previously, but to me that was out of left field. Dario, who picks Bree, which was a popular choice because Alex picks the other Alex, but admits that he wanted to pick Bree, but mm-hmm. she already got picked.
Yeah, she's like the hot free agent now. She's back as what Pratt would say, she's back on the market.
Which is crazy because you'd think you wouldn't want to put your hitch your tractor to hitch your trailer to
hitch your wagon. Hitch your wagon, is that the first?
You wouldn't want to jump on something that's already tied to something else. I should come up with names for the challenges. No, I just don't. I think it's kind of, I mean, Bree's great. We're both big fans of hers, but I'm surprised that they want to get, maybe she is high. Maybe she's crying quietly because she doesn't show anyone else that she's that upset. And so people don't realize that she isn't for the taking anymore.
Yeah. I mean, she's saying in her confessionals that she's not really looking at anyone romantically, but maybe she's not saying that to anyone else. Maybe, like you said, they do think that they have a chance with her.
So these matches, do you care about any of them, these pairs?
No, and it's like, I can't imagine, now that Anthony and Elliot are in a match, like, I don't know any pair going forward that I'm really going to be caring about, which is kind of what you mentioned about, maybe was the short-term gain of having that first time with no matches, but the long-term downside is, we don't care about any of these pairs at all. Like, we care about the individual people, but who they're with, it doesn't do much at this point.
No, I totally, totally agree. There was no shock this episode because I didn't care about any of them, like you were saying. And I'm not really interested in seeing any of these people go to the truth booth. I wasn't at the time. I could see that Brianna and Dario could be a match. I think it's interesting that Shelby and Curtis were a match, and now they're trying Dario and Brianna.
That's funny, yeah.
John and Jasmine, okay. Now we all know they're not matches, but to me it was I could see Alex and Brianna. I could see anyone being a match, as much as anybody else, because I don't really see strong cases for anyone.
I mean, basically at this point, the only reason why we can see certain people being a match is just based on the math and the statistics side of it because of how it matched up in previous ceremonies. But there's no way to do it based on what we've seen, because basically anyone who's had any conversation with someone has already been ruled not a match. So there's nothing to go off, really, outside of maybe Anthony and Jess from the first episode.
I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because we've moved along. One question I had, and then I have a question from someone from the audience. Is there any hope of a match? I'm reading my question that I wrote down, someone wrote it. No, but my question is just any of these matches, from week 7 on, is there hope that any of these will actually work out at this point? Because it's become are you my last resort? Not are you the one? Are you my last option?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so, because basically everyone has had their first or even their second choice being totally flushed out at this point. Even someone like Garland, I guess, would be probably his first choice, I think, was Tyler, and that's been now flushed out. So everyone who's their initial reaction outside of Pratt and Paris is down the tube. So I don't see anything lasting from this second season.
I also think they don't even have enough time left in the house to make a real connection, to the point where most of these people live far away from each other and they'd have to be motivated to try a long distance relationship. And to do that based off of you find your match 2 weeks before it's over, I don't know that you're that motivated.
Yeah. I don't think any of them are still together at this point, but I'd be much willing to bet that one of the pairs that were ruled out, Anthony or Jenny or Curtis and Bree, we know they're not, but I'd willing to bet that one of those pairs is still together as opposed to eventually the 8 new perfect matches that we're going to find.
And I basically hijacked the fan question. Alex Panda Moran asked basically what we already talked about. So, I just think it's a bummer. But one thing I was thinking of is does this season feel not as good as the first potentially because we've already seen the first season?
Like, if, how like would the we way feel about it's this
worked
was like
out. F- like, say if this was the first season, and like it, the first season could have worked out like this, where they just didn't find, they couldn't find it for so long. And I just think the first season worked out so perfectly, where they like struggled just the right amount of time. Mm-hmm. Then they started hitting their groove just the right amount of times. We found just enough couples that we cared about, and then they won.
Yeah, and it's kind of like boils down to this: like, are they really this bad? Or was like season one just kind of lucky that who their a lot of their initial reactions to worked out? I mean, because I kind of think it's more that season one was just a little lucky.
I definitely agree that they were lucky, but I also am starting to kind of read between the lines that they are trying to use more strategy than were being shown. And I do kind of think that a lot of them are overthinking it. Oh, you're exactly what I asked for. You know, you must be my match. You have to be like, I do kind of think that they're trying too many different options or trying everyone with everyone. Like what happened? And we'll get into it, but what happened with Jasmine and Brandon this episode? Why did that drop off the face of the earth?
Yeah, and, you know, like, we'll get to the date, but even, I think Bree said something on the date where she was like, oh, you know, with Dara, you know, oh, you must be in my match because this is exactly what I talked about with Curtis. But, right. like, Curtis wasn't your match, so wouldn't someone like Curtis also not be your match? And, I mean, that's how it worked out. So I think people just have in their mind of what they're looking for, and then they just keep going to, like, who's the closest, and then who's the closest to that, and who's the closest to that, as opposed to really thinking outside the box.
Yeah, so let's get into it now. So we see the family members, you know, taking part in the festivities, and we see what will become an iconic scene between Ellie and her grandma. And I just have to say that I was traveling to visit my grandma this weekend, and I was watching this in her house, not with her, but in her house. And I was actually talking to her about, you know, boys, whatever. I wish that I had said, "I'm on him like stank on ape."
I didn't really understand what you said, like, the first time she said it. I don't remember. I think they had subtitles on it. I don't know. I think I might have had to put subtitles on it for myself, because I couldn't believe that she actually said stank on ape, because it's a perfect phrase. I love it. I'm using that in day-to-day life.
All I could think of was, like, this is too real. I'm connected to Ellie. I'm talking about boys with my grandma. Why didn't I use this line? I could have tried it. I could have thrown in my southern accent, too, and just she would have not recognized me at all. Who are you?
Forget white under ice. Stank on ape. It's the new one.
I mean, you just see, like, when you see someone's family, you see, like, why they are the way that they are. Her grandma seems super chill and cool, and, like, they have a great relationship, and that's why Ellie's super chill and cool. I don't know that I could ever say that to my grandma.
She's not super chill?
She is super chill, but stank on ape. She'd be like, what's stank? Okay. So this is where Jess and Layton, speaking of, like, you see why people are the way that they are and the relationships they have, Jess and Layton, and Jess is, like, just keeping it real, saying that, oh, the relationship he thought was just sexual and she needs a sex toy. Thoughts on that?
Thoughts on that is this was just, like the little, like, the crumbs leading to what is eventually going to be the chaos of this episode. Like, they kept, like, with Layton and Jess, and then with Layton and Jenny, like, you kept seeing the seeds grow to what was going to be the massive fight. And they actually built up to the fight pretty well, so shout out to MTV. That was a good job. Because, like, all these little combos that they had, like, really good, like, setups for what was coming.
I totally agree. And you also see how, like, why these people aren't finding their matches is because, like, all of them wanted to introduce their parents to the people that weren't their match.
Yeah, that's a
problem. Can't blame them necessarily, but, like, oh, I want you to meet Anthony. He's not my match, but I still want you to talk to him.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, who else would be like, oh, this is Garland. I think we've had, like, three conversations. I don't know. He seems kind of cool. What do you think? Like, what else are you going to do?
My favorite, I think, parent interaction besides Ellie and her grandma, because that was amazing, is Christina, Brandon, and her stepdad. Because Christina, who we last saw break it off with Brandon, now we see that didn't last. No shock there. But she's like, for the fifth time, she finally realizes that it's time to cut it off. Christina's dad is amazing because Christina's giving him this, like, oh, it's really complicated. And he just goes, here's what's not complicated. You guys aren't a match.
Just like straight shooter. And he reminded me so much. Did you ever watch Rocket Power as a kid?
Yeah.
He reminded me of Tito. I was waiting for the ancient Hawaiians would say that you guys are not a match. It just seemed like that type of person. I don't know what that means, but
Fair enough.
I think it's a compliment.
Fair enough.
It's funny that, like, I think this is like the fifth straight episode of her saying, "Oh, now I really get it. I'm going to break it off. Now I really get it. I break it off." And I'm pretty sure later on, like, we saw them like hugging and holding hands and clearly not breaking it off. So,
I'm just glad that we don't see like another episode of them this episode. Like, we saw the dad just lay it out and then we move on. So that was good for me. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Leighton, who self-proclaimed best in the house, Leighton.
Very self-proclaimed.
Who decides that it's a good time during his... I always complain about this on The Bachelor, and I know you don't watch it, but you know the concept, so bear with me, is the people who go to The Bachelor and complain about other girls or other guys to The Bachelorette are only wasting the time that they have with the person they like and bringing attention to their competition. And that's exactly what Leighton does here. Leighton decides it's a great time in front of Jenny's mom, instead of making a good first impression, to talk crap about another guy who Jenny's mom actually really liked.
Right.
Brilliant.
And then it's like, you know, we kind of like said this with Nate earlier on. Like, if you think someone's your match, like, let them do their thing and then find out that they're not other people's matches, and then they will come back. Like, she just found out, Jenny just found out Anthony was not her match. Give it a day and she'll gradually come back. Don't force the issue, because it's only going to make you look worse and it's going to push the person away. And everyone does this constantly.
Couldn't agree with you more. Literally, what makes no sense to me is that Leighton, if he were like the mature guy, would, you know, seize the moment with Jenny and like try to take her on a date, like make their own date in their house, like spend time with each other. Instead, he's so focused on the fact that she's hung up on Anthony and he plays these games. That's what pushed her to Anthony in the first place, is that he like ignored her and flirted with Jess and whatever. And that's not going to work. Like, be assertive, tell Jenny you really like her. Like, he's not doing that. He's just causing drama and it's pushing her away.
Yeah. And I mean, clearly it blew up in his face later on, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, she, like, if you guys are a match, it'll work out. Like, that's the way this game works. Like, just let it play out, and no one has like the patience to do that.
We can jump right into their I don't have anything between into their like big showdown where he's now, I guess, the parents like subtly get ushered out. Yeah. And then Leighton jumps back into this again, like yelling, like, show me you're into me. Don't tell me. Mm-hmm. You're competing against another guy. Jenny's not competing against anyone for you. She doesn't need to show you anything.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and Leighton, like, I think Alex was the one that tipped Anthony off with what Leighton said to Jenny's mom. Yeah. And I guess she was talking loudly enough that Anthony heard him and walked into the room, because then he just goes, he doesn't even care that Anthony's there anymore and keeps going on, and then it all explodes.
There's one thing that Leighton says before I totally, you know, jump on team Anthony, is that he says, like, Anthony says it's a game, and Leighton's like, it's a game of love. Like, you can kind of understand what he's saying, because it's Anthony's able to be more cut and dry, and, you know, if he has emotions, stifle them for the game. Mm-hmm. And what Leighton's explaining here that I do kind of agree with is that it's more than a game. Like, the game is to find love. And I guess what Leighton feels Anthony's doing isn't helping that. But then Leighton totally loses his shit.
Yeah, like, if Leighton... like, Leighton's underlying point was kind of right in, like, if you're moving on, then move on. Obviously, he's not really moving on from Jess, which makes the argument kind of fall apart to begin with. But the argument is what we constantly see over and over again, is once you find someone's not your match, you have to move on. And that's what he was trying to tell him to do, which is good advice, but not in the way that, you know, he did it.
Yeah, I like sort of thought that Leighton clung to that argument after the fact, and that like Leighton just got busted by Anthony saying that you like, basically, why were you saying that? Just because you're jealous that Jenny likes me, which was truth bomb, like 100% true. And that Leighton just kind of got caught. So it was like a prime example of like the person who's wrong gets loud first. Mm-hmm. And so Anthony was calm, cool and collected, rational, reasonable. And Leighton just blew his lid because he didn't have anything to say.
Yeah. Whoever's speaking the loudest knows that they're on the shakiest ground. Like, that's clearly what was happening here. And Leighton was just digging further and further down and couldn't stop. And it's an explode.
Can you explain to me why then Leighton and Jess have a town hall and like a trial for Jenny? Like, is Jenny on trial? Like, is she going to get stoned or like burnt stake here? Like, I don't understand.
Like, why wouldn't this just be like Jenny and just Leighton talking on their own? Like, why was like all of a sudden John was like getting in the middle of it? I was like, oh, this is going to make him feel awkward. Like, yeah, it's going to make her feel awkward because the entire house is there. Like, leave the room. Like, just let them talk.
No, I mean, there's like a deleted, I mean, the deleted scenes, in my opinion, were totally worthless this episode, but there is a part where Jenny says like the way Leighton handled it was just immature. And that's right on the money. Like, this was just such an example of immaturity. It was like, I'm not getting what I want. I like you. So I'm going to flip out rather than talk to you about my feelings.
Yeah.
Maybe this is why they're on the show.
So it's a little hint. Yeah. But like, again, Anthony handled it. I mean, for all like the hate that Anthony may get because what maybe his motivations are here, like, he's very forthcoming almost with like his thought process and everything. And he just able to like keep himself like calm, cool, and collected in almost every situation, whether it was trying to put Ellie maybe in the friend zone last week or this week. Like, he has a very good way of words to express himself that kind of gets lost in the shuffle of maybe like him being like a quote unquote player.
No, I agree. Anthony's coming off looking better and better this episode, but Jess, unfortunately, comes off looking horrible. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying that Jess is living up to my billing about who might kill someone, and when she was, like, storming back, I was, like, afraid, like, a knife was going to be, like, sticking out of her pocket.
I mean, it's just hard because these people are hurt. Like, Jess is motivated by jealousy. Leighton's motivated by jealousy. The only issue is that Leighton still has a chance. Jess has no chance with the guy she likes. They're not right. A match, and he's not pursuing her despite that. You know, he's not pulling up Brandon and saying, you know, I don't care. But, like, Jess tries to put Jenny on blast for nothing. Like, for saying that she's messing with everyone's head. She's telling everyone that they'd have fun if they went to the fantasy suite. And you don't call out the sneaky girl because Jenny's been doing all this on the sneak, on the sly, and she can cover it. She's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I said I'd have fun. I'd have fun with anyone. I'd have fun with you. Like, it was perfect. You don't mess with the sneaky girl. You look bad. She looked bad. And just knew it because just tweeted last night, you know, at Are You the One, at Jenny Natbeller. I got to admit, I was out of line. I was out of line, that line. And Jenny knows that regardless, I am who I am. Hashtag IDGAF. So everyone knows this, except for, unfortunately, Ellie, who for the first time ends up in the wrong here.
See, here's the thing. Like, I know it was an attack. You know it was an attack. Anyone who watched this knows she was attacking her. But because Ellie said it wasn't, I find myself, like, rethinking, like, all the events that happened. Like, maybe it was, like, noisy in the room, so that's why Jess was yelling at her, like, to make sure that she can get her point across. And maybe, like, it was Kratos. That's why she had to get, like, close to her. Like, that's what Ellie does. Like, she says something's not an attack. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't.
I want to go back and see if Ellie was even there. Because I feel like
she was
in the main room with, like, in that little couch when it was, like, Jess, Jenny, John. When Jess said that, like, you're telling everybody you'd be have a good time with them. Because, first of all, it's not like Ellie to be quiet. And she wasn't talking during that part. And I was just going to say, during deliberation, the two most untrue statements ever said were Jess saying it had nothing to do with jealousy and Ellie saying that was not an attack.
Yeah. You know, I know Ellie was definitely there during the Leighton and Anthony stuff because they actually showed her, like, casually walking up to make sure she was there. But, yeah, I don't remember if she was there
when Jess attacked her. I don't know that she witnessed the attack. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, although it's probably a small house and they could probably hear anything. But anyway, yeah, Jenny in the right. If I'm going to let's put people in like the right and wrong column. Jenny's
in the right. Probably. Wait. But I'm sure there's like stuff that hasn't been shown that makes her not as right. But
cut and dry. We okay. See what we see.
Okay. From the show's perspective, she's right.
Leighton.
Incredibly wrong.
Anthony.
Incredibly right.
Brianna.
Right.
Always.
Always.
Like Ellie. Right. Ellie. A toe in the line to Drongville here.
I guess so. I don't know.
All right. So we get to the date.
If Ellie's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Oh, we got it. Okay. We get to the date.
I love when they do this every week now, where they have like a big blow-up fight and then they come back to them just like prancing along the Puerto Rico streets. Like, they really need to work on their transitions. Although I love it, so maybe they don't work. Actually, don't work on their transitions. Just stick with what you're doing.
Make it worse.
Make it worse. Like, right, like, mid, like, latent yelling, get over it, just immediately cut to the bait. Don't even go to commercial.
So, but we open on two very sane people having a nice chat about the future. We have Jasmine and John having like the real talk that Jasmine's famous for. And I tweeted that and Jasmine was like, they always show that, like the editing, but she's having these conversations and I don't even blame her. Like, I think she comes off looking really good and serious about things.
Yeah, she knows what she wants. She knows what she wants and she wants to see who else wants it.
But it's not helping her.
No, it's not. No, whatever anyone's doing, the only thing that would work is if, like Paris said, you got to open your hearts. So open your hearts.
Okay.
or flip a coin like Curtis did.
Almost as bad as just hearing Paris's name is that the two Alexes have the most boring conversation ever. I love love. I love love. Oh my God, you love love? I love love. Oh my God, love.
Don't you love? Oh, yeah. I think we're starting to see why Alexandria is not really shown that much because she doesn't really have that much to offer.
If anything else happened during the conversation, I don't know because I fell asleep. Like, that was so boring.
Yeah, nothing really happened. Don't worry.
Okay.
And then with Dario and Brie, I think we kind of discussed that a little bit. But yeah, what'd you get from them?
You know, I was just thinking that, like, for Brianna to be, I was thinking, like, she's so analytical about who the matches are. Like, she's really trying to think about it. And it's pretty impressive for someone who's heartbroken, but it didn't help because they weren't a match. So maybe she should stop being so analytical. What do you think?
I think whatever they're doing, they need to do, like, the George Costanza, just do the opposite. Because clearly, it's whatever they're doing, it's not working. Whether they're trusting their hearts too much, trusting strategy too much, like, it's clearly not working. So.
I did enjoy how Dario called Brianna and Curtis a fling. She had a fling. I had a fling. Yeah, okay.
I think the Shelby Dario thing was a fling. The when you start throwing the L word around, I think the fling word kind of goes the other way.
One thing with the voting before we get to deliberation, and I wrote deliberation down this week, so good I would remember. You. So Anthony again shows like a very astute. I don't know, very smart thinking, because he votes in John and Jasmine, I think, to see if they're a match so that he'll know if Anthony and Jess are not a match because they were matched up at the same ceremony.
Like, I don't know if Anthony's actually like a pretty smart guy or he's just surrounded by a lot of numbskulls, but he's coming across pretty well. And almost, especially since the first couple episodes.
Considering the motivation we've seen for other people to vote people in and that Anthony doesn't have any paper to write this down with, I'm pretty impressed by that.
Yeah. I think it was probably the smartest of the votes. So, I mean, not that it mattered. I think all of them were ruled out anyway, so. That's terrific. Whatever logic they used was, we could have thrown a dart at the wall, it would have been better.
So, John and Jasmine get voted in. And they are not a match, and I have no reaction. Like, I had no reaction.
Garland had a reaction because he knew it. He knows all.
Oh, my God.
Garland always knows it.
And then Dario and Garland high five. Like, are they rooting against the house?
No, Garland's just rooting, like, he's like, rooting for his calls. Like, he always wants to be right. No matter, like, if it's bad for the team, like, he just wants to be right. So he was probably like, oh, they're definitely not a match. They're definitely not a match. And then, oh, see, I told you. Meanwhile, he was pushing for other people, and they all weren't a match, so what does he
mean? Yeah, and they said that, like, Dario and Brie had the best chance. Should have been Dario and Brie. Well, no. Yeah. Crazier than that, I thought John and Jasmine's reactions were insane. And I know we always hear, and I'm happy to hear from the cast, tell us that we missed a lot of stuff that they didn't show. And, no, I love it. It's, like, really interesting. But from what we see, just from what we've seen, they have absolutely insane reactions because John is like, oh, my gut always tells me to get away from girls. First of all, that's not what we've seen on the show. And then he's saying like, oh, this was the first time like it said, you know, he was going to go for it or whatever. And now they're not a match based off of what? Like last week, it was 2 weeks ago, Christina, last week, Jenny. Now, all of a sudden, oh, you've been told to get away from all those girls and go to Jasmine. And now you're totally defeated because you're randomly not a match.
Yeah. I mean, even like Jasmine was like, I'm a great person. I deserve someone great. No, a little sad, but it's just because all these people, they're like, they're probably thinking to themselves, like, do I really have no idea who would be good for me at this point? Because they're all going through like so many different options that they're like, the frustration is probably more so like than them actually finding their match. They're like, oh my God, I really I have no idea who would be good for me, at least according to science.
Well, yeah, that was, I mean, the great thing was hilarious to me because is John, first of all, let's not even debate if John is a great person, but is he the only great person in the house? Like last week, oh, if there's a light, it's definitely going to be me and Brandon. What happened to that? Where's Brandon now? Is he not a great person?
He's wearing the same clothes as Ashley. That's where he is.
I want to see. Wait, I didn't get that.
They were matched. They're color coordinated.
I thought I missed like a boom boom room. Actually, he's wearing her clothes. Okay, sorry.
That's the R-rated Ariana one.
Okay. No, but I just like I want to know. Fill in the gaps for me here. What happened between Jasmine and Brandon? You know, Brandon moving on from Christina, being all about Jasmine, to Christina and Brandon still being together with her stepdad and Jasmine thinking John's the only great person in the house. Like, I feel like we missed something there.
I have no idea. Like, they don't, if we missed something, they're obviously not showing it because unless they thought because they only got one light last time that all odds are it's not us, so we might as well move on to try to find someone else. But, I mean, someone has to be Brandon's match, and right now there's only four people left.
Well, it just makes no sense to me because whatever, I could go on and on about this. It just
the whole
like,
thing
flushes
makes
me.
No sense.
You want to think, and I used to think, okay, if there was something pivotal to the story, if there was something really interesting, we would see it. And all I'm learning from Twitter with this cast is that we've seen 0.5% of interesting stuff, 95.5% filler, and all the interesting stuff we haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's like basically what every cast of every reality show says. That all like, oh, you're missing all that, you're missing this, 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 and this. But the point is, like, this is what they're showing. So this is obviously the story that they want to tell. So this is all we can go off. And what we're going off is that these people just have no idea what they're doing. So,
well, is there a story? I mean, that's like an argument. I don't think there's a story being told here.
The story was the first 4 weeks. Like that was basically Are You the One season two. It was the first 4 weeks, and now we're like in a 6 week epilogue of just seeing if they can win. That's basically what season two is.
So even crazier and harder to make sense of is the fact that Christina approaches Nathan, that people have been saying that they could be a match, and she wants to get to know them better.
Who is enjoying the biggest bowl of ice cream that I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, and he forgot his spoon.
Yeah, and apparently it was his birthday, which they didn't say in the show, but he told me on Twitter it was his birthday. So happy birthday like 6 months ago.
Thank you, MTV, for not giving me any more screen time of Nathan than we needed.
Yeah, but I thought Nate came across pretty well with the whole thing with Christina.
Oh, we'll get into that at the matchup. But we have a couple questions from the audience about Christina and how they're playing it. So Johnny Langan, a lot of them are talking about scenes from next week, but I just pulled the questions that are relevant for this week. Johnny Langan asks, do you agree that Christina needs to be the priority? She needs to go to the truth booth, get it right, and even out the number immediately. So, like, are they playing strategy with the 11th girl right?
You know, you can't just toss her in with just, like, a bunch of different people and just hope something sticks. Like, if she thinks she genuinely has a connection, then yes, I would throw her in because getting her match obviously is the biggest help because it eliminates another girl and it just narrows the field down even more. But you can't just be like, oh, like this week we're going to throw Christina in with Layton, and this week we're going to throw her in with Curtis or whatever. Like, there has to be actual reasons that if there's better potential pairings with other people, you should throw them in. So until Christina actually develops another potential match, like, there's nothing you can really do about it.
Well, I mean, they did that with Brandon, where they just kept throwing him in. And I know it's different because Brandon was winning the challenges, but I do think that they could have. I have to think that people are making connections that we haven't seen, and Christina has some leads. She's not just like nebulous, like around the house with no opinion on anyone. Like, I do kind of think that maybe they should have been more strategic about who's winning the challenges and made pairs. Like, I don't know that we have seen everyone that she's been interested in the truth booth with her. I do think at this point, compared to what they've been doing, it may have been better to target her match. But we have a semi-related question from Emmanuel Bernard, who said, again, talking about previews for next week's episode, the other girls in the house don't want her to find out if her and Nathan are a match. Do you guys agree with the other girls? What would you have done if you were in that kind of position. So like, we obviously strategically it makes sense to target Christina, but do you think that they haven't been because the girls don't want to go home?
I don't know, because it seems like every time, like, she's ruled not, like, the double match, like, they're all happy for her, so, like, oh, I mean, I guess you could just fake that and just be openly rooting for her to go home, but, like, I mean, at this point, though, like, if you're going to throw her in with someone, there's probably only, like, three or four people who could potentially be that person's match, too, so those people would probably be hoping that she gets thrown in with someone else, because you go home, with literally nothing. You got no chance in the money. So I mean, I understand why some of the girls may be trying to persuade it to go elsewhere. But at some point, someone's got to bite the bullet. So I guess you try to get it over with as quickly as possible.
Unless Christina is going after interested in a guy that you think could be your match, you shouldn't try to get in the way of it.
Yeah.
If you're Ashley, let's say, and you think your match is Dario and Christina starts flirting with Dario, then I'd be on alert. But just like Tyler was like baselessly against Christina going in the truth booth. Like that to me is sabotage and is only hurting her in the long run.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. If you think, then you go like on the defense. But otherwise, like you got to find out. Like eventually it's all going to play out. But yeah, you could try to have her back off if you think she's going after your guy. But if not, then yeah, you got to just hope for the best and hope you're not wildly wrong, which I guess these people do have reason to believe that they would be wildly wrong because that's what they have.
Speaking of sabotage, we move on to Paris and Pratt and Curtis and Shelby rejoining the group.
Now, we're in the honeymoon suite. I don't really remember how it worked last year, but were they all together? Like, the people who went to the honeymoon scene, were they together, all of them?
I don't remember seeing scenes of them together, but I do think they were together. I don't know. I'm making this up. Maybe not.
Because it would be interesting if Brie eventually did get to the honeymoon suite, and then basically her and Curtis were in the honeymoon suite. Like, I don't know if they, like, seclude them off from seeing them, maybe, like, just at breakfast they're allowed to, like, interact, and then they're supposed to, like, go do their own thing. But it would be kind of funny if, like, Brie eventually did get to the honeymoon suite and was basically able to spend all of her time with Curtis.
Well, Shelby, I think, Instagrammed a picture of the four of them in, like, the water. So I think they're allowed to hang out. But how many people, let me look this up if you don't know off the top of your head, because I don't. How many people went to the honeymoon suite last season before they all became matches?
I think there was three couples. I think it was, I always forget whoever the first couple's name was. But then it was Christine.
Khaleesi and Dylan.
Yeah, Khaleesi and Dylan. And then Christine Page. And then I think Wes and Kayla got there also. And I think that was it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like not even like there's going to be a full house there of like like six couples.
No. Yeah, normally I don't think they'll ever get more than like three or four correct truth rules, really. So, but it's just interesting that they're allowed to like interact. Like, it's not really like you're off spending time by yourselves.
No, that's true. But so unfortunately, Paris is allowed to interact with everyone when she gets back to the matchup ceremony. And she starts going off about how our money is in their hands and everyone's going about it the wrong way. And this takes us to Twitter for the week.
Yes, this is even I was on board following this big Twitter fight. This took over the Are You the One Twitter waves.
Unfortunately, Paris doesn't know how to reply at a tweet, so I spent a few minutes cut and pasting this into one sheet so that I could read it and try to make sense of it, because she just kept starting new tweets in the midst of this drama.
Come on, Paris. Don't you know we're at the read these on air?
So, Brianna, from what I can tell, and I may be missing tweets because I found more and more as I was like going through this of replies just in the middle of things. Mm-hmm. So, I think Brianna started it by tweeting, "Just have fun in the honeymoon suite. Don't worry about us. Y'all ain't even here anymore. Hashtag are you the one?" And Paris replies, "It's super easy putting my money in your hands. We can trust you, right? Hashtag show me the lights." Brianna replies, "LOL, you guys weren't there. Show up at the matchup and shut up. Thanks, bye." Paris replies, dun, dun, dun. "We'll see in just a few moments." So this was like while the show is happening. Paris is smug.
It's kind of like, that's kind of like weird to like tease something when you know the outcome because you know it's going to benefit your argument. It's kind of
Paris not a favorite, that move. Sucks, okay? Everything she does in this conversation sucks. So Brianna then says, "LOL, keep talking, you mad?" Paris says, not at all. We did our job. Just want to see you that you do yours. You mad, bro? Okay, like we already did the you mad thing. Like, come up with something new. So then Pratt says, okay, enough of the Twitter hero bullshit. Can we all get along? Can we all get along? Brianna replies to Pratt and says, LOL, nah, I'll catch y'all at the reunion. Brianna replies to Paris and says, girl, just because you and Pratt, quote, followed your heart, don't mean shit. Take multiple seats, which I love. Take multiple seats.
That's just one.
And then Brianna says, last time I checked, Paris, it's not just your money. If we win, we all get money. And if we lose, we as a team get nothing. We're trying. Paris, all caps. You're not listening. I'm not saying anything but that we have a right to be concerned. No caps. So bye, Felicia. Then I get involved and I say, why weren't you concerned week one? Hashtag, are you the one? Because I was like steaming over this. You don't have a leg to stand on to complain about how many matches there are when you sabotage the whole thing week one.
Yeah, I mean, this was, in the episode, it was just a hypocrite after hypocrite moment. And then, of course, I love that effect that took over Twitter of Paris being a hypocrite of saying, oh, you're going to screw up the game when she clearly screwed up the game in week one. So at least she's fitting with the theme of this episode.
And Paris will not respond to any sort of criticism that she sabotaged the house. Then Brianna says, ain't that the effing truth? So concerned now, but wait, I thought you just wanted to party. Then she says, my name is Brianna, not Felicia, which I thought was amazing. And Paris ignores the correct criticism that she sabotaged and she's a hypocrite and just says, get off your high horse, B. I guess I could say bitch, but I don't like it. Get off your high horse, bitch, and learn something. And provides, and oh, I wrote this. She provides the Urban Dictionary definition of bi Felicia.
She's like a screenshot of it, right?
Yeah, and it was hilarious. And then Brianna wrote, you've really got to be dumb if you think I don't know what bi Felicia means. Like, I have no words for you anymore. Ha ha ha. And that's the last thing Brianna says on the subject. Paris replies to doesn't reply, just new tweet. It's not even worth my time. Good night, Twitter. New tweet. FYI, I didn't even start this fight, just standing up for the people in the truth booth who were told to just show up and shut up. Okay. Paris doesn't know how to use Twitter. She doesn't know how to not be a hypocrite and not sabotage her own $50,000. And she doesn't know how to fight.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know.
She just doesn't know.
She just doesn't know.
So what do you make of that?
I make of it that the fight goes to Brianna.
Fight goes to Brianna.
Yes. And
what I love is that if somebody else, like on another podcast, was reading this Twitter beef, they would not include my tweet. But because Brianna like responded to it, I felt like I was a vital part of this altercation.
I mean, that clearly took it to the next level. Before, we're just kind of like, "Eh, this is all right." But boom, you jumped. Here we go.
Before we get back to the matchup ceremony, Tiffany Vaughn on Facebook shared with us an interesting tidbit. I guess Paris and Pratt are not together anymore, or sure, no more. Just saw him on my Tinder. LOL.
That, I saw that. That's
real or fake? Real or fake Tinder? Verified? Unverified?
I hope it's real. I'm going real just for the story.
Perfect. So we can confirm. Breaking news. Confirmed. They're not together. Because somebody who looks like Pratt is on Tinder.
Or someone who just has their like Facebook profile where they have a picture of Pratt, which would be really creepy.
Oh yeah, that's no, I'm sure. Or it's him. We'll see. So yeah, Ryan welcomes them by saying he wants news from Paradise and he's the only one. I don't want any news from Paradise.
Yeah, but he also started with like a Matthew McConaughey, all right. Did you catch that?
No, I try to listen to like only the key parts that Ryan says and black out the rest.
There's key parts?
Like the bare minimum, I should say.
Yeah, I don't need an update from Paradise, really. But at least we got Curtis again explaining that he left his heart there. And then Brianna with maybe the quote of the night saying she's going to explode rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns.
I just think, and we had like a lot of response from Shelby to our last episode that she, you know, supports that Curtis is playing both sides and promises that the reunion will be crazy. A lot of people, there's going to be so much beef at the reunion. I literally want to fast forward through all this garbage we're watching now. I still am enjoying the show, I want to say, but like in terms of the game, it's garbage. Did you watch the deleted scene between Shelby and Curtis in the honeymoon suite?
From last week, right?
Was it last week?
I don't know. Was it this
week? I thought it was this. Well, it has to be this week because they didn't go to the suite last week.
I remember watching them moving in.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Okay, so that one.
No, I Shelby confirmed it, so it's, like, not, like, I'm being deducing anything anymore, but I see Curtis as, like, you know, Curtis even gets to the matchup ceremony. He's like, I see it. And you could tell he's trying to, like, cushion Shelby, but also be like, but I'm in love with you, Brianna. And then he goes back to his suite, and he's saying, like, you know what I'm going through, but I'm going to try to be present. And I understand that he's trying to play both sides, but I liked better when Chris T was like, I'm in love with Shanley, and I'm going to be respect that, and we're going to have an okay time, but, like, I'm going to sleep on the couch. Like, where's Curtis sleeping?
I think he's sleeping on the couch. I think he told me that. I think he said sleeping on the couch, but...
Oh, he told you that, or he said it in the thing?
I think he tweeted it to me.
I
remember somehow seeing that he was sleeping on the couch.
Okay, fine. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get good vibes. I get shady vibes from his love declarations in front of Brianna and his, like,
I'm
going to be present.
He always just looks so miserable, like, at, like, the matchup ceremony. He just has, like, a face that looks like I'd rather be anywhere else but here right now. So.
I agree. I mean, I wouldn't want to be him for sure, but I just think that Shelby can't be crazy, because every time they ask Shelby, Shelby's like, oh, we're having a great time. And then he's like, I love you, Brianna. And she just looks like an idiot.
Yeah. He could have just been maybe more upfront, said, like, this is just going to be, like, purely friends. Like, I clearly still have feelings for Bri. Like, just going to let you know right now, like, nothing's going to happen, but, like, let's, you know, we're in Puerto Rico. Let's have fun for a couple weeks as friends. But I mean, maybe he did that, and Shelby's just hoping that it can lead to something. I don't know. We don't, like, see that much, and I don't really care to see that much, personally.
I would like to see more of Shelby and Curtis, if Curtis is being as shady as I think he is. But, all right, so we can move on. I won't make you suffer through this anymore. So we get to the matchup.
Yeah, so this was girls' pick. Started off with Ashley taking Brandon, Jasmine taking Nate, Bri taking Dario, Ellie taking Anthony, Tyler picking Garland, Alexandria taking John, Jenny picking Layton, Jess picking Alex, and then Christina choosing Nate but being rejected.
So, immediate reactions, Ellie wears a tie-dye shirt and jean shorts to the ceremony. Bow down.
Of course she does.
Like, a couple of them were more casual. Like, Christina was definitely more casual. Like, I feel like she talked about it.
Yeah, it seemed like the casual Friday version of the matchup ceremony.
But, like, Ellie's the reason that casual Friday gets, like, taken away from a company. You know what I mean? Like, she's the person on The Office who wears, like, the denim outfit or whatever Kelly on The Office was wearing that, like, made it inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just, maybe Ellie's just a trendsetter of the house. Maybe they're like, oh, look at Ellie wearing her jeans and tie. I want to do that too. In the final suit.
More power to her. She looked really pretty. Her makeup looked really good. But
she did look good.
I enjoyed her tie-dye shirt.
So, I guess the biggest moment from this was just more of the Anthony-Layton showdown. And did you catch Layton speaking in the third person? And then not even speaking in third person, but, like, nicknaming, like, shortening his own name and referring to himself?
I mean, that's all he does in real life. Big country. So it doesn't surprise me that he's speaking in the third person about himself on the show.
All Late did was speak the truth.
Oh my God. I'm so sick of him.
Has he taken over the Pratt mantra of the worst person on the show?
In MTV history, I think if Pratt were still on the show, you know, it's a little bit unfair. We got a question actually in a very similar style to that. Let me... Alex Panda Moran asks, after these last 2 weeks, has Layton officially come off as one of the worst MTV contestants / personalities ever?
So I guess yes.
Yeah, we'll go with her. No, I just think, or him. Alex is a ambiguous name. I'll have to look it up. Sorry about that. Okay. No, I just think that he's... like, this clearly, like, I don't want to make any accusations, but I feel like he's pretty misogynistic. I feel like the things he says are unintentionally very backwards and very, like, fight for me. Maybe that's how it is in your real life, but unfortunately that's not your situation on the show, and he just, like, can't deal. And, like, I feel like I'm watching, like, a robot, like, malfunction, and he just starts yelling, and I can't take it.
Yeah, like, he refers to himself as the best, but, like, in every type of argument, it seems like he calls, like, all the women bitches. Like, I can't imagine, like, that being, like, the best guy. Like, I don't know. He's just, the last couple episodes is just, he's had a rough time. Like, maybe he's, like, he's going through, like, a little steroid cycle that he's got on. But this is not a good few days for Leighton.
One thing he keeps stressing is he keeps making these accusations that Anthony's hooked up with every other woman in the house. And that's kind of the thing is, like, if you're really serious about this, like, why are you hooking up with everyone in the house? And I tweeted something to the effect of, like, did I miss something or has he only hooked up with two people? And I guess I meant, like, Boom Boom Room style, like, more serious than just, like, kissed. But there was some Twitter stirred up about that, or Twitter stirred up with that, whatever.
Even if it's just, like... Like, think about, like, the Anthony life cycle of this show. Like, he started off, he hooked up with Jess, but then Jess was the first one to move on to Leighton. So then Anthony moved on to Jenny. And then he was really with Jenny for the past, like, 4 weeks, like, focusing on that. And now they're not a match, and now he was with trying to do something with Ellie, and now that's not a match. So, like, I don't see where he's been, like, juggling multiple women at the same time.
Right, so that's where we get... So Brandon said on Twitter... at myself, haha, nah, he was making out with basically 8 out of 10, to which Ashley, I thought was really funny, was like, there are 11 girls on the show. Right. And then somebody said, like, oh, he's not counting Christina. And then someone was like, Anthony did make out with Christina or hook up with Christina. I don't know when that was. I wish I saw it.
Was in, like, the game, like, that game they're playing. Yeah. And it was in the episode you didn't watch.
You're right.
Anthony kissed Christina.
No, and Alexander.
Well, no, first Anthony kissed, and Christina.
Yeah, no, I know.
Alexandria swooped in and kissed Anthony, too. So I guess that counts as two hookups, which, but, I mean, those were clearly, like, not, like, him playing with them, like, playing with their heads hookups. Like, it was clearly just part of the game.
Yeah, when I tweeted that, I meant, like, in a more serious way than that. So I wonder if they meant, like, full-on hooked up, or just, like, if Christina and Anthony hooked up only in the context of that game, then I think that's a little different. But Christina said a lot more hookups were... I didn't write down her exact tweet, sorry. But she wrote, like, that a lot more hookups happened than were shown. And to me, it's this whole thing, like... That's fine. I don't need to see everything that happens. I really don't want to see 24-hour-a-day footage of these people. But I feel like there are so many things that they... And you're right. Every contestant on any show will say, like, oh, you missed so much. But there are concrete things that these people tell us that happened after the fact that further the story more than a lot of the stuff they show, or are more vital to the story than a lot of stuff they show, or are more interesting. So, like... Anthony making out with 8 people, like, I want to see that. I want to see the drama so that when Leighton's yelling about it, Leighton doesn't look like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe instead of, like, the Dirty Deeds segment on the Aftermatch, we extend the episode by 10 minutes.
Maybe instead of letting Paris talk when she's a perfect match, we see people who are still on the show.
What do we know? We're just podcasters.
True. barely that at times. Okay, so then... Ellie picks Anthony, and she's beaming and so happy. Okay.
That lasted about 2 minutes.
Tyler, like, I wrote something down, but I just don't even want to justify it with talking about it.
The fact that she was, like, excited to actually be picked to pick someone. I kind of felt bad. She was like, yes, I got picked to actually get to do something.
Yeah, no, but she goes off this whole, like, oh, my mom was like, hell no, Garland, hell no. But then Garland looked for us, and I love that, so I'm picking Garland. Like, you just wasted 2 minutes. I'd rather see Christina and Anthony hook up.
Agreed.
Anyone else that was interested? Oh, we finally saw Alex's hand brace.
I did not catch that.
When he locks in, we get a little quick glimpse of this black brace on his arm. So there you go. Oh, we didn't correct that from last week.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't bring that up yet. So Alex was not sick. He hurt his hand in the first challenge, which, I mean, I don't understand why wouldn't they just, like, mention that? Like, it doesn't take much to just say, oh, Alex hurt his hand.
Well, the cast, I guess, said that he heard it, like, in that first challenge and they didn't notice it for weeks. So, like, I guess it was kind of out of place to go back. And he's not bringing that much to the show. I mean, apparently he's funny, but we're not seeing it.
But, like, would it have changed so much if he just said, oh, Alex isn't participating because his hand hurts?
Maybe they just thought it was easier to say he's not feeling well, because you don't need an explanation for that. And if somebody's like, oh, Alex's wrist is broken.
I need the explanation. They can't slip those stuff past me.
Well, they slipped the brace past you today.
Yeah, that was a bad job. I can't believe I missed that. Maybe I just thought it was, like, like a glove or something, because these people are always wearing like winter stuff, even though it's like 95 degrees.
It was glove day this time.
I'm waiting for North Face to.
Okay, so we're going to disagree about this, I think, based on something else that you said. So Christina tries to break up Nate and Jasmine, and Nate, for the first time, Christina gets rejected.
Yes. Thoughts? I think it was good. It was just like him sending a message, because the way they're kind of still showing is that Brandon and Christina are always together. Like, even like whenever they leave matchup ceremonies or enter matchup ceremonies or leaving competitions, it seems like they're always like walking like hand in hand. So it seems like despite them saying they're going to leave each other, that they're really not. And if everyone's saying they're spending the night together, they're probably spending the night together. So this is like, no, just because now I'm your like catch of the day, that I'm not just going to be like, all right, I'm going to be with you. Like, show me that you're actually going to leave Brandon, and then maybe we can do something. But until then, I'll stick with Ashley or whoever she was with. I don't know.
She was with Jasmine. Two things about this. First, I was like, oh, awesome. Nate's sticking with the girl. He's not enamored by this like 11th girl mystique. And he likes Jasmine. But then he goes into this whole thing like, yeah, I'm going to teach her a lesson. Like, these guys are not these girls' daddies. They don't need to teach them lessons. If you like her, it's week 6. Be next to her and try to get some information out of it. Picking her doesn't mean that you're going to rock with me. You're going to rock with someone else. No, but like, picking her isn't saying much. It's saying, yeah, maybe I'm interested. And then you can have a conversation like an adult. You don't need to teach her a lesson like you're her dad. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was like he made a big stink. Oh, you proved to me, like, go away with Brandon and then I'll pick you. Like, it made no sense strategically to me. It was like an insult to Jasmine to say the only reason you're playing with her to teach Christina a lesson. And Christina probably just shook it off and didn't care.
Shake it off. No, but, you know, it's interesting, because I know you said it makes no strategic sense, but actually I kind of think it would almost be better if, until you found out Christina's match, she really realistically should just be left out of every matchup ceremony, because if you keep her in, then there's a potential of keeping her in and the double matching, so it'll screw up all the numbers. But if you just keep her out of every matchup ceremony, then you're getting the clean look of 10, so it might be easier to then manipulate it, and then when then Christina can go about trying to find her perfect match, and she could do so in the truth booth. But it almost might be easier if she is left out of every ceremony.
That's actually a good idea. That's a good point. I agree with you. That'll
never happen, because all these people think with their motives, even though they claim it's all strategy.
But I just think in general, like, if he didn't think Jasmine, like, he didn't pick Jasmine because he thought she was his match.
Right.
He picked Jasmine to teach Christina a lesson, yeah, and that was just like, who are
pick,
you?
Yeah, he didn't pick Jasmine. He picked against Christina, which, right, I guess is a problem.
And then Paris, like the mathematician, statistician, if we don't have 5 or 6 lights, we're screwed, or whatever she said, 6 lights or 5 lights, we're screwed. Like, I agree to a certain extent that they need more matches than they have.
Like, pipe down.
Pipe down. B, do you realize that you can get this at any point? Like, at any point, randomness can happen and they could get it. Like, they don't need any matches to get it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they have 2, so it's not like they have nothing. And they have a lot of information now. Are they smart enough to use that information to, like, really narrow it down and be smart about how to play out these final 4 weeks? I think that's a fair question. But, I mean, it seems like they're much further away than they probably are. Like, the initial perception is, oh, my God, they got no matches again, so they really suck. But, like, probably they're not that far away. They just need to just get like a few more, like, just confirmed and then and be on your way. But they're like not far away from doing that.
Okay, so we have a bunch of questions I want to ask right now, because it's prime asking time at this point. So none of them are matches. I mean, we've talked about that. And the audience has a ton of questions. One of them is basically just like, do you think they're going to get it? But why can't it? Oh, here we go. John M. Bennett asks, do you think they're going to win? Having 0 matches is great help. That 17 truth boost more than last season. But just in general, do you think they're going to win?
I don't, because I think, and also I think it goes back to, I don't think production wants them to win this season. This has kind of just been my feeling all year. I think because they won last season, I think they want to have in the bank a season where they win and a season when they don't, to show later on if this show gets continued, which, I mean, a lot of the questions have been about ratings, if it's going to be continued. But I think they want to have to show that, you know, you're not definitely going to win. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to win it yourself. So I think having a season where they don't win is good. And I think it'll show if they don't get any help next week, like a second truth booth or something like that. Because remember, that's what the first season got, and that really helped them. I think that was how they got their first confirmed perfect matches, when they had an episode with two truth booths. So if production doesn't give them any help, then I really firmly believe that they did not want them to win this season.
But is there a show on TV that you think that they don't want them to win every time? Like The Bachelor, like they obviously want the couple to propose. Like every other show is like set up where like someone's going to win. Like, is there another show like this where you could lose and they want you to lose?
But the difference is, I think in almost every show where every show is leading up to almost, I guess with The Bachelor, that could be maybe the other one. But like with every other reality competition show, everything's building to firmly someone definitely winning. This is either everyone wins or everyone loses. It's not just someone's going to win Survivor, someone's going to win Big Brother. But with here, I don't know if they really want them to win all the time. Because I think if they just keep winning, then it kind of takes a little bit of the drama out of it. Like, oh, even though they're so far away, eventually they're going to get it. Like, it's nice to have in the back of your head, oh, wait, maybe they're actually just not going to win. I think that will add something to it.
But it's interesting because I think I like some of these people, like, even more than I liked some of the people on season one. But as a season overall, like, I can't stand this week to week where they get no matches. And it's just getting boring now because I'm not invested. So I don't know that from... You know, I can understand why the ratings are declining, because nobody cares about these couples. It's just like watching the first episode over and over again.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with that. I think they wanted them to lose, but like do better at it. Like, I don't know if they're happy to the fact that they're like, there's nothing to be invested in. Like, I can't imagine them being happy about that. But I just don't think they want them to win. And again, like, if they don't help them out in any way, like, I don't think they're going to, because I mean, this season is harder than the first season. Like, you got to remember that, like, with the extra girl, it just makes the game harder. And if you're also not going to get the help that they got, it makes it doubly hard.
No, I definitely agree with you that they haven't helped yet, that being suspect completely. But I just don't agree that they should want them to lose. Like, I'm not saying that they don't want them to lose, but I just think, and I get what you're saying, that it would be boring maybe every episode, every season, if you knew they were going to win. But so Johnny Langan asks a three-part question. So here's part two of his three-part question. Do you think they are messing with, so he has this long question. He goes, I still think the producers have Hunger Games like control over who the matches are, and the contestants are easily manipulated enough to believe that anyone could beat their match. Do you think they're messing with the cast to create better TV and they'll let them win in the end by just having whoever they sit next to be their match? Or are they sincere matches set from the beginning and this group can really walk away empty-handed?
I do. I think people underestimate how hard this actually is to be able to like pair everyone up like this, where you're just going based, mostly people are going based on like just pure attraction, and it's not that easy. And I think it would almost be hard for MTV to keep like manipulating the numbers to be like staying one step ahead of the cast to like be like, oh wait, they get this and we have to do this to make sure they don't get it. I just think this is a hard show to win. And I think it goes back to, I think season one just got kind of lucky there in the middle to get on a little roll. And then once you do that, you can get to the end. So I just think it's just a hard show.
I do think potentially they could make matches that wouldn't be as obvious. Like, they don't give them exactly what they asked for, potentially. If that's the manipulation they're going to do, they're going to do it at the beginning. But I do think we're also not seeing, like, to us, Shelby and Curtis were totally random, but Brianna and Curtis tweeted about them actually not being totally random, and Brianna having evidence as to why she thought Shelby and Curtis would be a match from knowing what she knew about both of them. So right. I also don't think that the editing is just like way too much playing up this like, oh, it's random, basically angle that's kind of supporting Johnny's theory. But I don't think that they're going week by week just saying, no, you're not a match, and making it up as they go. Okay, so some questions about the ratings. Johnny's third part question. The third part of his three-part question. I was pretty shocked and thrilled. Are You the One got a second season? If they fail to get their matches and win, will this season be a wash? And will that doom the show from the beginning, from being renewed?
I don't really know enough about ratings for like an MTV show, because I mean, obviously it's not going to do as well as like a CBS show or whatever, like how that determines if it's going to be renewed or not. So I can't really get into that. I mean, I don't know if the ratings are going to be low because they're not going to win. I think the ratings may be low if they don't like the people or if the storyline is stale, which I guess maybe coincides with them not winning, but I don't think that plays that. I don't think it got renewed for season two because they won, and I don't think it'll get canceled for season three because they lost.
No, I know what you're saying, but I do definitely think it plays a huge role. Like, I think the fact that they're not winning is like a direct reason why we don't have anyone we care about and we're not getting a storyline. And, you know, I'm still going to watch it because I like the show and I still think that there's enough about the show that's entertaining. But my overall percent, like, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth every week when they have zero matches. Like, it's not exciting anymore.
I agree.
But Crystal Mina pointed out in the comments that they've been casting for a third season. We've gotten all those tweets about them casting for a third season. So I agree. I don't think MTV needs like that strong of ratings. You can't really compare it to the networks to keep this afloat. I mean, like, what's the overhead here? Like $1 million if they win and whatever the cost to rent that house in Puerto Rico.
Right. That's not much. Although, well, $1 million is probably not, but not the other part.
And then Jenna Mina asked another question about ratings. I always see you guys talking about how the cast from this season would do in a challenge. Do you guys really see them casting them for a challenge after the really bad ratings this season? It's like having not even Real World lowest season, the Real World's lowest season, Real World Portland, have pulled such members. I may be reading this wrong, whatever, but we get the idea.
Yeah.
Or do you see them doing with JJ, Simone, Brittany, and Adam what they did with Camilla, and that she's the only person to be asked from the Spring Break Challenge?
I mean, I don't think they're specifically casting, like, Are You the One people for the challenge. I mean, I think a lot of the people that they cast for Are You the One can fit the mold for Real World and fit the mold for challenge, because basically you're just looking for young, attractive, crazy people. Like, that's basically the mold for all these shows. So to say you're casting for one over the other, I don't really see that.
No, I think what she's asking is, do you think that they'll cast them on the challenge even though the ratings are so crappy?
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a problem just because the ratings are low. Like, oh, we don't want, like, their stink on our show. Like, I think if they did it once. I think if the people who go on the challenge get, like, a positive response to, that'll play more of a factor than if they think they'll be good on season two. I think if people enjoy seeing Simone and JJ and all them, and then and them on the challenge, then that'll make them more likely to cast season two people on it.
I agree. I also think, like, every season of the challenge, like, no matter what kind of, how big a challenge fan you are, like, there are going to be people you don't remember right away. And there's also people who were on, the last time you saw them was a bajillion years ago, and they're different people now. So I do think that there's a certain element in the beginning of getting to know the people that you didn't know. So even if you didn't watch Are You the One, it won't take you very long to get who these people are.
Yep.
Let's see. Who do you guys think is Ellie's match? Oh, sorry. Michelle Calviero asks, who do you guys think is Ellie's match? I'm the only one that... So that's part one. Who do you guys think is Ellie's match?
Alex, maybe? They might have had something at some point. I kind of keep forgetting, like, who's officially been ruled out from all the matches or stories, but if they haven't been ruled out, maybe Alex.
I think maybe Layton. I mean, that's kind of the buzz going around just from people.
Like, the country background, but I guess.
The country background, I mean, they're both, like, hotheads. They're both, like, you know, going to say what they think, but I think they could be a match, but I don't think that they should be a match because I think Ellie's too independent for Layton's liking. Mm-hmm. There's that. And then Michelle continues, I'm the only one that thinks that Jasmine and Christina are the double match. Or am I the only one that thinks Jasmine and Christina are the double match? They always go for the same guys, Brandon, John, and Nate. I can see both of them being a pair with Alex.
It's possible. I mean, like we said, any speculation is possible, really, at this point, because there's nothing to dispute it. So.
Yeah,
I can see it.
I think, and I mean, Brian and I both said we're not, like, doing calculations. Like, I have glanced around at some people, other people's charts, but so if we're saying things that already ruled out, sorry. But yeah, I do kind of think that's, we've seen Jasmine and Christina both have something with Alex that could lead up to that. And I do think that if they want to show anything, they want to show the double match because they want to get their money's worth out of that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting. Yeah. So now back to the zero matches. Nick Fishman asks, in all truth, isn't zero a lot more helpful than getting a single pair right now? Right now. Do you still think that, though?
I mean, it's zero is definitely better than getting one. But at this point, it's not better than getting, like, another three or four. Because you do start, but getting one basically does nothing. Also, by getting zero, just definitively rules everyone out. By getting one, keeps in the back of their heads for like probably three or four couples that they could be that one. So it is better just to get a zero. But at this point, as Ryan like laid it on that, you can't keep ruling out who's not your match. Eventually, you have to start figuring out who is your match.
So speaking of the Ryan bashing, yeah, so I like jumped into questions, but going back to that, Ryan basically gives this huge lecture about, you know, go back inside and look inside, you know, gives this pep talk. And Nick Fishman asked, did Ryan feel a lot like Probst to you in his harsh words to the group for another goose egg?
Yeah, I mean, he really read them the riot act. Like, it was like, guys, like, you suck. Let's go. You guys are doing better. So that was definitely very Probstian. Or even like TJ Lavian, when people might want to quit or whatever. He's like, guys, you suck. Let's go. Kill it.
Oh my God. If TJ would have no patience to be the host of this.
If TJ Lavian was the host of the show, this would be like the greatest thing of all time. It would be unbelievable. I can only imagine like Cam at like the matchup ceremony with like Anthony and Leighton going in on each other. It'd be like, guys, just come on.
No, he would say, save it for when I'm not around. Do this later.
That's why Lavin's great.
On the Ryan topic, Anna Jose asked, do you guys think Ryan was actually mad at them after they got no matches, or was that production talking?
It was probably a little bit of both. I think Ryan probably ad-libbed what he was going to say, but production probably told them to, like, all right, give him the riot act. And then I think Ryan wants them to win. Like, I know I keep saying production doesn't want them to win, but I think Ryan's probably rooting for them. So he's probably like, guys, come on, let's go. Get on this. Let's go.
Ryan also has a background in production in addition to, I don't know what his role is. If he's just, I think he's just the host of this. I'm not sure. But I know that he's done producing and scripted television. So I do think that he'd be able to just like say something on the fly. They also could have paused it, you know, cut and recut it of him saying more than one thing over and over again. I think he was justified in giving them the riot act. And I think he was probably motivated himself. I don't even think he needed fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm. I think he said this like when he was on the aftermatch, that he doesn't know the matches. I think that helps him do that type of stuff, because otherwise he might be thinking like when they're picking, like he might give off like a tell or whatever. So it's good that he doesn't know how much they're sucking when they're sucking.
Another production-y question. We had like a million great questions this week, so thanks everyone for writing in. Alex Pandamaran asks, by having 10 tries and essentially 10 possible episodes, does this format possibly spoil that this cast might go all 10 tries, since last season at this time they split one matchup between two episodes to get 10 episodes with 9 attempts?
Well, rather than spoil the fact that it's going to go 10 and the fact that it's going to go less than 10, because it goes less than 10, then you know that they win. So I'd rather them be knowing that they're going to go 10, so it's still up in the air. So, but I mean, they could split up the next episode or the episode after that. So you never know what might happen.
Right. But it is interesting that like this is unique in the way that the number of weeks corresponding to the number of attempts that they get does just in general on a season give you an idea of what's going to happen.
I agree. What else you got?
Let's see. This is a fun question. AF4 asks on Twitter, should Are You the One use the challenge playbook and give the cast a night out, just losing it on a local who cozied up to Leighton? Hashtag good TV.
I would love to send Brie back locals to the house and then try to go in the tooth booth with them. That'd be pretty funny.
No, I would like to see them go out at night. It's like the few times we see them, like the white party last year, like that's always good TV. So I'd be into seeing that. That's it for the questions. Let's see. The one thing I just want to cover is like the important matches we think we rolled out this week were like Ellie and Anthony, Jenny and Leighton, Garland and Tyler. Otherwise, I don't even think any of the other matches were even interesting to have been rolled out.
No, I don't think so either. And
then the aftermatch,
I got literally nothing. I think Anthony came across well, but other than that, I got nothing out of this one.
Anthony came across well. I had no notes from this, so I rewatched the aftermatch today thinking, maybe I was just packing, I wasn't paying attention. No, I have no notes because nothing happened. The only interesting thing that happened is that this is the last live show.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
You didn't catch that? Yeah, Nicole said in the beginning, this is the last live show. And then at the end, they like moved the couch off, like they're joking around. But why is this, because the aftermatch sucks and they're pulling it, or is this because something's happening next week, or is this, you know, why is this speculation?
Maybe they have a new show starting at 11 o'clock on MTV. Other than that, I don't know. Or maybe, maybe they're doing the, when's the reunion taping? Because maybe they don't want to do any more of the live shows after the reunion just to keep that fresh.
Oh, that's very interesting. Well, we'll have to, we'll have to be left to wonder, unless somebody knows and wants to let us know.
I'll gladly take the 30 minutes of my life back not having to watch the aftermath, so.
Well, I've been an hour.
We watched it twice. Oh my god. Well, no, you're probably the only person in the entire world that watched that twice.
We may be the only two people who watched it once.
It's very, very fair. Very fair. So you got anything else for this episode?
That'll do it for me.
Okay. So that's six episodes in. We'll be back next week. As always, you can send us questions on the Facebook thread at the Rob as a Podcast Facebook page. Or you can tweet us, for me at Bus Drivers Route. For you.
And for me at Last Tweets.
You can also leave them on the comment section of the post on robiswebsite.com. And if you could subscribe to our channel at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And if you're enjoying this at all, give us a little rating or comment on iTunes.
Hopefully not a little rating. Hopefully a big rating.
Yeah. Big rating, but like, you know, it doesn't take that much effort to do. So a little effort for that's reward for us. That's all we ask for. For hashtag this week, cry room. Hashtag cry room. We'll go back to that. Instead of boom boom room, I like cry room. Is that okay?
That's always okay with me. You could say hashtag blah blah. It'd be fine with me. I just like seeing it.
If you could spell out blah blah, blah.
All right, yeah, that's, I will, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, so looking next forward week, to it. Yeah, we might have a little special treat next week. Hopefully right now we're tentative agreed to speak to Brianna next week to get a first-hand perspective for the season. So if that works out, we'll definitely give you guys a chance to ask her all types of questions and stuff, but we will keep you posted on that. So until next time, guys, have a good one.